Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
We've been doing a series on core values. The core values really that the Spirit of God gave us in beginning Best Life Church, but I've said it in the past that really these core values are core values for every believer on the planet, every new creation believer. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to the book of James. The book of James. James chapter 1. We've been talking about the fourth core value that we've looked at. Give the Word of God final authority. And I'll tell you, frankly, the way I got this from the Spirit of God is, you know, if you look at any foundation that is a church, they all say we give the Word of God final authority. And the way the Lord gave this to me is He said, you know, we give the Word of God final authority, believers who put the accuracy of the Word of God. And then I was going to just leave it at that, and he corrected me and said, no, you need to mention, you put the accuracy of the Word of God as it's revealed by the Spirit of Truth. John called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. And so I went and corrected that, and I explained the core value is believers who put the accuracy of the Word of God as it's revealed by the Spirit of Truth first before personal opinion. And from it we receive our identity, we receive our purpose, and we receive our perspectives. Everybody say perspectives. We're going to deal with that one a little bit today. And really where we're going to be today really bridges over into the next one that we're going to be speaking about. And that is understanding that we live from the inside out, that we're attentive in our spirit, that what's going on around you is not as real as what is going on in you. But before we get there, we need to deal with some things over here in this previous one. We give the Word of God as it's revealed by the Spirit of Truth final authority above our opinions because we receive our perspectives from it. And we show that we demonstrate its priority in the way we adjust our behavior and our perspectives and our outlook. How many have been around folks where you're speaking to them about the Word of God and some things in the Word of God, and the first thing you get is, yeah, but I just believe. I just want to get a wiffle bat. Ever know what a wiffle bat is? And just go like this to me. Because there's an individual, this is what you find is they've been trained by a system, but they're not being trained by the Spirit of God. So here in James chapter 1, James says this in verse 17. He says, every good thing is given, and every perfect gift is from above, that comes down from the Father. The Old Testament writer said, He's good. James says He's good. Every good thing. Everybody say good. And that's not some twisted version of good. That's good is good, right? Every good thing comes down from the Father, of whom there is no variation. Everybody say no. No variation or shifting shadow. He says, in the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth. And his desire was that he would make us a certain first fruits of his creation. So from that he goes on to say, you know, my beloved brethren, that everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, put aside all, even the NASB words are like this, filthiness, and all the remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted. Everybody say, I receive the word. Which is able to what? Save your soul. That isn't talking about you going to heaven. That's talking about the faculty that is your mind, your reasoning, and your emotions, and your feelings. Everybody say your feelings. How many know your feelings dictate your perspectives? I said, how many know your feelings dictate your perspectives? So he says, receive the implanted word because in it has the DNA to save your souls or keep our thought processes and our emotions in the right direction. He says, but prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who is looking at himself at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and he's gone, he immediately has forgotten, the Greek says, the quality of person that he saw. The quality of the person that he saw. Now hold your place here and go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Talking about the mirror. Second Corinthians chapter 3. And look at now let's look at verse 15. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil, everybody say the veil. I mean, now again, this veil had to do with what Moses didn't want them to see. Right? Because of condemnation, he was conducting himself a certain way. And he didn't want them to see the fact that the presence of God that had permeated his skin had subsided. Because, hey, I got a little more clout when they think I'm all that. And so he goes from there and he says, but the Lord is the Spirit, verse 17. Say, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty or freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of truth is, there's freedom. He says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, there's the mirror again. In James, the guy looked in the mirror. What did he see? He saw the quality of man that he is, from the perspective of the Spirit of God. So when we look in the mirror, we're being transformed into the same image that we're seeing. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be transformed in the image that I see in the mirror of the Word than I would be transformed into the image of the mirror I see that input from the world. Right? So we want to stay in front of the mirror so that we can be transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So that we put the Word of God of highest authority as it's revealed by the Spirit of God. Go back over to James. By the Spirit of truth, because He's the one that's given us the accurate image. You follow me? But you notice here in James it says, in verse 22, it says, prove yourselves to be doers. Your margin may say this, doers of the work of the Word. Prove yourselves to be doers of the work of the Word. What's the work of the Word? What do you see when you see in the mirror? Do you see the quality of person that He sees you as? If you do, then be that. Walk that out. Order your perspectives like that. Speak like that. Think like that. He says the challenge is he says, we don't want to be merely hearers of the Word and we delude ourselves. The interesting thing about that word delude is in the Greek, the New Testament, it's actually two different words put together. The first one is para, means alongside. And the other word is logizomai, which means it explains, it has logic, it's where logic comes from. It explains a thought process from A to B. It's actually an accounting term. But what you find when it's used in this verse, what you find is if we have trained ourselves to be in the habit of just being hearers, then really what James is saying is we're like the person that we hear it and we collect it and we come alongside certain thought processes. But we're not walking out the work of that. What we're seeing, we just associate with it. It's convenient. I know that. We're coming alongside of it and associating with it. We're not walking out the work of it in our life. And so what happens is we think we're a certain place when actually we just associate with a doctrine. We associate with, we're comfortable just hanging around beside it. Yeah. I know that teaching. But it's not in us. And here's how you know it's not in you, is because when the pressure's on, what comes out? Does this? Or does something else? We got to the place really where if we don't guard it, that's a comfortable place. I got a whole library and I got everybody's teaching on everything there is. So I got it all down, I know. Now you just came alongside of it, but you're not walking out the work of it. There's a difference. Do you understand the difference? Go over to Luke. Go over to Luke. You know, the core value talks about esteeming the truth of the Word of God as it's revealed by the Spirit of truth above personal opinions. But I want to go one step farther than that, because a personal opinion comes out of your thought process, comes out of your thinking. But so do emotions. And I remember um, It struck me one time, my wife, I forget what she was doing. This has been years ago. She kept saying, I feel so bad. I feel so bad. I feel so bad. It was something, it had something to do with it was either interaction with a relative or something. I forget what it was, but she kept saying, I feel so bad and I was like, why is it that we're so quick to submit to condemnation? Why do we do that? Because that has as much to do with do we give the authority of the Word of God final authority in our life above our feelings, our emotions, and our opinions? Or is that just something that we come alongside on Sundays because we're supposed to? But what about when the rubber meets the road on Monday or Tuesday? And I asked her about it one time. I said, why do you keep saying that? Why do you keep saying, I feel so bad? I feel so bad. Because she was trained that way by life. But somehow that was compassion. Folks, how many know when it says Jesus had compassion on people, the Greek word compassion there literally means he was moved in his bowels. So how many, I don't want to be graphic, but how many know when you're moved in your bowels, you're fixing to make a deposit? Right? So, Spirit of God compassion makes a deposit. It's not jumping in the mud and wallowing and having like emotions. We can all do that, but certainly we want to be operating from that which is coming from the Spirit of God so that we can make a deposit that will make an impact, right? I said, right? So, over here in Luke, for the sake of time, I'll skip some of this stuff, but basically from Luke chapter 6 forward, really kind of starts in verse 27 and goes to about verse 45. But it seems as though for the next few chapters, Jesus really never gets off of this subject because he's dealing with the heart. And what's going on in the heart? Because somebody asked Jesus this thing, what's going on in the heart? And he makes this statement in chapter 11. Look at verse 34. He says, the eye is the lamp of your body. This is how much your perspectives. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of what? Full of light. But when it's bad, your body also is full of darkness. Verse 35, then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. Verse 36. Therefore, your whole body is full of light with just a little tiny bit of dark part. Is that what it says? No, it says with no dark part in it. It will be completely, or W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely illuminated. As when the lamp illuminates you with its rays. What is he saying here? Well, Jesus is saying that since your eye, or how you see things, is the lamp to the rest of your thought processes. And he says, we want to be in a place where we have no darkness in there, so that when we are in that place, we're receiving complete illumination from the Spirit of God. How many want to have complete, uncontaminated illumination from the Spirit of God? I know I do. So Jesus is saying we need to live in a place where we don't have any dark part in our thinking, in our perspectives. Go over to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. What we want to strive for, folks, is we want to strive for an environment in our personal life and an environment in our life amongst people. We don't allow our heart to be loaded with a bunch of junk. And I don't mean bad theological teaching. I mean anything that's contrary to the way the Spirit of God thinks. We don't want our heart to be loaded with that stuff. Because what happens is then it begins to affect, we judge others and ourselves by that junk. How many of you have been in a situation where you were believing God for something and it just didn't seem to be coming? And let's talk about over a process of time. And by the way, if you didn't get last week's message, you need to, as soon as it's actually available, it'll be on the website. It's not available now because it's in prison. We were waiting for our computer to actually come back to life. Anyway, you need to get that because it's really the foundation for this. Really, all of these core values are built one on top of the other. But you're believing God for certain things in your life, and for lack of a better word, they seem to be kind of stubborn. So what's the first thing you do? What is wrong with me? Right? What is wrong with me? And you get to feeling bad. How many of you just short-circuited the whole deal? Because you're no longer living with Holy Spirit influenced perspectives. Now you're living with natural man perspectives. And natural man perspectives are never going to speak to you accurately according to the Word of God, and now therefore you've basically neutered yourself. I'll use that as a nice term. You've neutered yourself, and you have absolute zero effect. All because somebody dumped some trash in your yard and it never got cleaned out. And it affects your tenaciousness. It affects your perspectives. It affects your tenacity. So that's why we need to make sure that in all of our thought processes that we're putting the authority of the Word of God as it's revealed by the Spirit of Truth. Some folks have a better relationship with their organization than they do with Jesus. Nothing wrong with organizations. But Jesus is more important. The Holy Spirit's more important. He was here long before any organization. So he knows a few things. So we ought to make sure we plug into him and just be ready to adjust our, let him tweak our perspectives. So when I say Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and I'm going to read you this from the idea of the Hebrew. It says, watch or guard, keep your heart as a matter of guarded service. Everybody say guarded service. If you can picture a guard standing watch over an entrance, nobody gets past it unless it has permission. This is the idea that the writer of Proverbs is trying to get across to us. Watch, guard, keep your heart as a matter of guarded service, because out of it are the parameters or the borders of a lifetime, or the borders or the parameters that will be put in place in the duration of a life. And obviously that life is your life. We should be in the habit of guarding what goes in our heart. And folks, look, I know the minute you're born on the planet, the dumping begins. Because the system in the world is designed to steal, kill, and destroy everything about a human being. So it doesn't matter whether it's a bunch of junk that little kids that don't know any better start trashing on you. You say, oh, it doesn't bother me. But you carry those things all the rest of your life. And so then all of a sudden they flavor your perspectives. They flavor what you think about God. They flavor what you expect about Him. If you had any other individuals in your life that dump junk into your yard, if you don't get it out and let the Spirit of God get it out, it affects how you think and your perspectives. And before you know it, really, you're just one of those persons that you come alongside teachings and you like to have it alongside of you. But it's not in you because it hasn't changed what's in there. So every place else in your world, you're still functioning between what's in your ears. What's between your ears. And the unfortunate thing is we can get so comfortable living here that we don't even realize that we're living over here. Just living life. And then when it's convenient or on Sundays, we come back over here and we get next to the teaching again. But it's not in us. It hasn't changed. You say, well, how do I know if I'm living here or if I'm living over here? When the pressure's on, which one has authority? Does this speak to you, or does the word speak to you? I think it's David. David in Psalms, he writes this. He says, when I wake up in the morning, your word speaks to me. I love that. I meditate on your words in the evening time, and when I get up in the morning, they speak to me. So Jesus is communicating in Luke. He said, look, be somebody that the Word speaks to. If we hold our own thought life in higher authority, in higher esteem, than we do what the Spirit of God has written in these pages, then we're not really giving the Word of God final authority as it's revealed by the Spirit of truth. And we're really not guarding our heart. Because over here, it seems like more stuff just keeps coming. When are we going to stop the cycle? It's got to stop someplace. Otherwise, this is just a self-feeding. It just self-feeds. And pretty soon, you have a bunch of folks that are feeling so bad about themselves because of, quote, failure or whatever, they no longer associate with anybody else. What happened? You've been listening to this crap. don't know if I can say that on tape or not. Anyway, I just did. Anyway, we want to train ourselves to let this speak to us. I know there's a lot of controversy about, Job. And, everybody's got their perspective on what happened with Job. But the one thing that I can say that's true, and honestly, Job is the oldest book in the entire Bible, so he didn't have the writings of Moses. Okay? But when the pressure was on, and Job got squeezed, what came out? You want to say that a little louder? Yeah. Despite the fact that, Daddy said, "You've been considering my servant Job, haven't you?" Talking to the darkness. And even, Daddy still called him righteous, but when Job was squeezed, the only thing that came out was what was in there. And I know, we're all in a different process. Thank you, Jesus, that we're all still alive, right? Check your pulse, you alive? Yeah. We're all still alive, so we're all still in the game, and, my desire is, because the Word says that as a pastor, I'm a overseer of your souls, your mind, your will, your emotions, and I have to give an account for that. But fortunately, there's a great shepherd who is the overseer of your souls too. And there's things that he wants us to put in place in our life. He wants us to guard our heart. Stand as a guarded service of our heart. Don't let mess in. You say, "Well, Pastor, what if mess is already in?" Well, then get in front of the mirror and let the Spirit of God, where there's freedom, begin to show you what your yard used to look like. I moved into this house one time. It was amazing. I moved into this house. I got in the backyard, and oh my gosh, it's like there's trash everywhere. It was all piled up on one side of the yard. I was like, oh my gosh. I had like two or three trips to the dump just for me to be able to see what the yard's actually supposed to look like. So if you got to stay in front of the mirror, and then, James, you go back there and you read that a little closer. James says, it's the law of love that comes off the mirror that causes you to move from associating with the doctrine to actually walking out the work of it, because it's become you. And it's become you that when the pressure hits, you don't go here. The first thing that starts speaking to you is the promise that you read, the promises you've been meditating on, the Word of God the Spirit of God gave you a revelation of. Those things start speaking to you, and you just, "I don't want to live over here. I'm not living over here. Shut up. I'm not going to live next to them. I'm going to live in it, because this is the truth. And I choose to put this Word ahead of my own opinions, my own perspectives, my own emotions, my own everything." So we guard our heart, because out of your heart will be the parameters that you put on your life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a closet. Right? I don't want to live in a storage shed. I want my life to be expansive, because that's where you were created to live. Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus says this. He says, "Always be looking at your listening. Be looking at how you're listening and how you're understanding." He says, "Because whatever measure you meet, it'll be measured back to you." He says, keep a look out on how you're listening and understanding. Because whatever measure that you measure towards your listening and understanding, it will be measured back to you in the same degree. And then I talked to you about Luke chapter 11, the eye is the lamp of the body. Turn to Psalms 119. I love this. Let me close here. Psalms 119. Folks, let me tell you why this is so important. Because we all want to come to the place in our life where we accurately live and move and have our being in that which the Spirit of God is doing on any given moment, that which He's saying. We want to be that person that accurately assesses what the Spirit of God is saying to us any given time. And the way that you do that is you train your mind to only think the way the Spirit of God thinks. So there isn't this casual relationship with this. Because he doesn't want you to miss or have so much noise between your ears and so much things going on mentally and emotionally that you completely miss the clear direction that the Spirit of God is trying to give you. That's the next core value. But I love this in Psalms 119. Look at verse 54. David says, your statutes, or some translations say your decrees, or really the things that you've spoken. He said, the things that you've spoken are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Man, I love that. The things that you've spoken are the songs in the house of my pilgrimage, the house of eating your entire life. The things that you've spoken, Lord, are the things that I sing in this journey called life. How you guard your heart. You know, there's times when I'll go and I went through basically the entire Old Testament. I'm sure I missed a few. But you can't see what's on my notes, so you don't know which ones I missed. I went through and I extracted every promise, really everything that magnitude my daddy's awesomeness. And I put it all in one doc. Doc, what do you call it? One piece of paper. And there's times when I'll just get up in the morning and I just want to go and hang out with Daddy. And so I'll open to my piece of paper and I'll read Psalms 3:3-5 and I'll just direct it to Daddy. And I'll say, Lord, you're my shield and you're my glory. You're the one who lifts my head. And then you sustain me. And then I'll move to Psalms 3:8 and he says, I'll say, you're my salvation. It belongs to me. Your blessing is upon me. And then I'll jump over to Psalms chapter 4 and I'll say, you've put gladness in my heart. More than grain and more than when new wine abounds, in peace I lay down and sleep. Because you alone, Lord, you make me dwell in safety. And I'll go through all these. I won't make it through all of them, you know, but I'll go through. What am I doing? I'm guarding my heart. I'm putting a guarded service on my heart. Because I don't want to think about junk. And when I find myself thinking about junk, I get this out. I'll turn to Psalm 63 and I'll say, God, you, how awesome you are, man. because of the greatness of your power. I'll look at verse 8 and I'll say, oh God, you, I sound your praises and you keep me in life and you don't allow my feet to slip. And then sometimes, you know, when I'm in the car, I'll make these things my song. And I'll just sing. I love it because Daddy didn't give a rip what I sound like. What am I doing? I'm putting the work of the Word in process. It's not okay for me just to associate. Because this thing has declared who I am. I don't want to act like some other person. I don't want to think like some other person. I want to think like this says I am. When I get in front of the mirror and I let the love of God just wash over me, I don't give a flying flip that my real daddy dumped me before I was born. I don't give a flying flip the fact that the only person I know is my biological mother, not counting my adoptive parents, which they're awesome, and I call them mom and dad. I don't look at them as step anything. But the fact is, I don't care about all that stuff. I just don't care. Because my daddy has already told me who I am. So I'm going to heap my celebration on my daddy every second I can. What am I doing? I'm esteeming the Word of God as it's revealed by the Spirit of Truth over any feeling, any emotion, any thought process, any opinion of Scripture that I would come up with on my own or what somebody else has told me. I'm dumping all of that and I'm going with what my daddy says. And I'm going to choose to set a guard service over my heart. From this point on, I'm not going to let people dump junk in my yard. All the junk that got dumped in my yard when I was raised, I don't care about that. Because the only thing that matters is what the Spirit of Freedom continually wants to say over and over and over and over and over and over when we spend time in front of the mirror. It's the only thing that matters. When we come to the place where we've made this our life habit, then we can easily move over to the place where that which is on the inside of us is more real than that which is going on around us. Amen? I said amen? Do you see the process? I'm trying to make this as simple as I can, guys. Because frankly, we can bellyache about how bad things are getting. Doesn't change the fact that when you open your Bible, the Word still says, greater is He who is in you than anything going on around you. And frankly, I'm just not going to give that any glory. Because I'm going to give my daddy glory.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.